It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. And this is that time of the year, then even more than normal. I'm just always curious at what's at the top of his list. What? And it's too early before the draft. But there's always, Jason always has a list. There's always something at the top of the list. His curiosity. I'm guessing an interview with Jair Alexander would be first, but that's not probably likely. And joining us now is Jason Wilde. Good evening, Jason.
Yeah, it's not likely at all. Good evening, Homer. Yeah, he's one of those, I don't want to call him my white whale, but he's one of those guys that I would have really have liked to have gotten more information from him at locker room cleanout when he walked. He knew that we were in there, so.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would have come in there while we were in there, other than I really wish I would have gotten to talk to him, because I may never talk to him again. Like, he's one of those guys that, he's not going to be back. I don't see a scenario where he's back, and as you pointed out on our show this morning, until he enters the Packers Hall of Fame well down the road, I don't know when we'll talk to him again. Maybe there'll be a time where whoever he plays for, the Packers will be facing them next season or two seasons from now, and maybe then we'll be able to get him to talk about why did it end the way it ended. And I shouldn't be talking about it like it has ended, but I don't have much doubt that it is ending. Like, it. Spoiler alert, I don't think he'll be back. And I don't think that'll come as a surprise to really anyone, including Jair himself.
I will. I've been meaning to call Terrell Buckley, who was his coach in college, and I think they're still pretty close. Because Terrell is now the head coach at some SWAC school, I think, now. And I will.
Yeah, I saw you got a head coaching job. Yep.
Yeah, I will tell him that I think he should.
I want to talk to Jair.
No, I will say to him, Terrell, I think you should tell Jair that he should talk to Jason Wilde. Jason will be fair, yep. and I would think right now, my assumption is he doesn't feel that there's any benefit to it, but I don't know that for sure. But that's what I'll say to him, and that guarantees nothing.
I would just add this. I want to emphasize this, and you and I and John Anderson talked about it last night a little bit too. Like, I don't want people to lose sight of them, and the reason why it's such a perplexing, confounding story is that, when healthy, as I said to you guys last night and repeated this morning on our show, the guy was still a very effective, good, very good football player. But, the way things ended this season, had they moved on from him after last year, I would have been like, yep, I totally get it. He's unhappy, appointed himself a captain, he was mad at the defensive coordinator, he hates the scheme, like, all that would have made sense. But if you would have talked to me in October and said, Jason, I have a crystal ball, and Jair's time with the Packers will end with him not having played after, like, November 17th, and with this knee injury that he suffered on October 27th, basically being the last time we saw him in a Packers uniform for more than the 10 snaps he played in Chicago, I would have said, I don't believe you. Because everything was pointing toward a bounce back season. Like, he was, you know, he was all pro in 2020. Then he had the 2021 shoulder injury. Then he was all pro in 2022. And then obviously he was a malcontent in 23 and had his injuries and his suspension. But the way things started this year, the way he was talking, I thought it was going to be, you know, that alternating thing of good year, bad year, good year, bad year. And I thought it was going to be a really good year, and that obviously did not end up turning out to be the case.
Yeah, I thought the same, and I thought this the situation, he didn't have to be the leader anymore. You have another guy as a leader. And the issue of, and I give credit to Tony Smith for talking to me about this, not just, but the issue of players being hurt and getting scared and not playing when maybe they could or the doctors think they could. He said, this is nothing new. I think it was an issue with Chris Middleton as well. I'm not saying it's why he was traded, but I think there was a belief from the team, the doctors felt like he could play and he didn't. And Tony said, it happens all the time. People are scared to come back, that they're going to get hurt again with a knee, whatever it is. And he said it's even worse now because there's so much greater risk for a player. If he's thinking of another contract, this injury, another, could cost him $100 million or $50 million. So said it's been around forever, and it's one of those things, and people both sides don't generally talk about it, but to have that kind of thing, which I think occurred with Jair as well, is he just, Tony, as he says to me often, you just don't get it. You know, it's, you got, at some point, you got to be able to risk everything and go out on the court or the field and play with a risk that you could blow it out again and then it's over, or to that degree. But anyway, so maybe.
Yeah, I think you, first of all, I'm sure he says, and legitimately so at times with you, you just don't get it.
But I admit, I don't understand that risk.
Yes, you do. No, you do. You definitely do. I think you do. Because, look, here's the problem, and here's what I would argue about, you know, as I get ready for year 30 of covering the team, which is a crazy number to throw out there, because I still feel at age 53 that I got a lot of years left. But I've seen it change, right? I mean, first of all, you know, I've told you this before, but we both really like Don Beebe. You've had him on the show a bunch of times over the years.
Yep.
Like, the fact that he suffered a concussion in a game against the Lions, I think it was, where he was out cold, snoring on the field in the first half, and he came back in the second half to catch, like, a critical touchdown. Like, the idea that I didn't think at the time, okay, that doesn't seem safe, right?
Yep.
But that era in the late 90s, you know, the money had not exploded. Like, I think the salary cap at the time was like $85 million. And I know, even accounting for inflation and what the dollar is now versus then, the fact that it's going to be $277 million this year tells you how far the money has changed. We have seen players. I would say TJ Lang is a good example. I would say Josh Sitton is a good example. Guys that in previous years, when the money wasn't as good, would have stuck around and played another 2 years, eked out another couple years on the bench and as a backup, just so they can get another year's NFL paycheck. The money's better, so they don't have to do that anymore. They can walk away and still be functioning and still not have that many concussions, so they don't forget when their wife sends them to the grocery store what they went to get. But the other part of it is, as we have seen demonstrated over and over and over again, and this is why I always kind of, you know, I don't tell fans how to fan, but I do, there's this one area where I do kind of tell them what I think they should feel, is that I think you have to at least have a little bit of sympathy for the players that you cheer for, because once they've been used up, teams will find every way possible to get out of their contract and not pay them the rest, right? Jordy Nelson, David Bosque, yep. Like, the list goes on and on. Those are not guaranteed contracts like the NBA. Like, once you've got injury problems, the NFL teams are trying to get rid of you so they don't have to pay you anymore. And So there's no loyalty there. So if I'm, and I'm not speaking about Jair specifically, but just players in general, if I'm that player and I, like, for him with his shoulder injury, Jair, like, man, am I going to push myself to come back and be judged on my performance and risk being able to get another contract? Because remember, that shoulder injury occurred, and then he got that extension, the $84 million extension, in 2022. And so he needed to get paid coming off of his rookie deal. And so my argument is that, yeah, guys don't play through injury as much as they used to, especially guys that are established, because there's more risk. Tony is 1,000,000% right about that. And while it's frustrating and coaches get frustrated and old school players, I know Aaron Rodgers used to get frustrated with guys that wouldn't come back as soon as maybe he thought they could have. I'll tell you, it's a different era, and I don't blame the players because of what the stakes are. Tony could not be more right.
The last question I have, is there anything to watch with Devontae Adams or any players, the dates or money or anything to give an indication of what's less likely, more likely to occur, or other players that are out there?
Yeah, so, for example, in Devontae's case, there isn't. He does not have a roster bonus due. That is a – those are always used as a you-know-what or get-off-the-pot type moment. Like, either you pay me and I'm here, or you say, I'm not paying you and we're going to cut you so we don't have to pay you. Devontae's contract, he's just got two gigantic base salaries for 25 and 26. And he's a smart dude now. He did that on purpose because that put the Jets, you know, he adjusted his contract for the 24 season to help the Jets cap-wise to facilitate the trade. But he and his agent wisely did not change the final 2 years, because now the Jets want to get him off their roster as quickly as possible. They definitely have to do it before the league year starts on March 10th or 12th, whatever it is. I think the negotiating window opens on the 10th. The league year starts on the 12th. So for him, there's no like March 8th or March 1st or whatever where he got, oh, they're going to make a decision on him. Now, with other guys, you know, I think I just saw in Aaron Jones's case, in another player's case in Minnesota, they agreed to push back the due date of bonuses so they could work through their contracts because the Vikings still wanted them. They still wanted to be in Minnesota. So they're kind of mutually deciding to push it back so they don't have to rush into it. But those are the kind of drop-dead dates. But in you know, for Packers fans, because everything matters as it relates to the Packers, in the case of Devontae Adams, there's not that date. So it could be happening right now. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen at any point where they say, we already made up our mind, here's when we're going to move on from you. So I don't know what the Jets have in mind there, but to me, this is that time of year where you allow your imagination as a fan, and quite frankly, even as a reporter, to run, you know, get a little ahead of yourself thinking about, oh, it could be this guy, it could be that guy. And in the Packers' case, more often than not, those turn out to just be pipe dreams.
Isn't it reasonable to think the Jets might want him back?
Well, not at the number he's at. And so it gives him all the power to say, yeah, you want me back, I'm only coming back at, you know, you can. Yeah, I don't even know if he wants to stay there, right? Like, they're going to have a new quarterback. They're going to be rebuilding. But the point is the way he left his contract, the Jets, if they want to keep him, he can say, sure, that's fine, but I'm not adjusting my contract. So you got to pay me $35 million, and I count every penny of that $35 million against your cap. Right. And they're going to be like, okay, no.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers, all the time. Go to Wisconsin On Demand. Just hit the button, says Jason Wilde, and you can watch, listen, everything. You won't believe. He's like, is he on every show? Yeah, pretty much. Tim Van Vorn, not next, but soon. Fisco Auto Body. I tell you about them because everybody needs an auto body place. You just need to have one. So when anytime anything happens, you don't have just all the anxiety, all the other stuff. You got no problem. Just give Fisco a call. It's because they're that good. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They've been doing it for generations. So by the time they work on your car, they've been doing it so many times. It's easy. They don't say it's easy, though the quality of work will convince you that it must be. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. On Forest Home in Franklin, I don't mention again, on Forest Home in Franklin. And yes, I will admit, I tell you about Fisco because if you go there, you thank them. And then you'll thank me. Homer, thanks. Yes, it helps my reputation. I admit it. It's not to the top of the list, but it's close. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. An extension for Luke Fickell and Mark Antanasio, the Brewers owner. Where is winning a World Series on his list? Both next.